Hey, landlords, are you ready to level up your rental game and simplify your life? Well, get ready to meet your new best friend, KeyCheck. KeyCheck is your all-in-one solution for stress-free property management with tenant-paid screenings, rent payment processing, online lease creation with eSign, and a suite of incredible landlord tools. You'll wonder how you ever lived without it. No more chasing down checks or sifting through piles of applications. KeyCheck helps you organize and manage all things landlording in a simple and efficient way. So if you're tired of the rental chaos and crave seamless, efficient management, head over to KeyCheck.com and sign up today. Make landlord life a breeze with KeyCheck, the game changer for modern property owners.
Welcome to Landlord Diaries, where we talk about midterm rentals and the opportunities behind them. We'll share landlord stories, talk about maximizing investment potential, and discuss how to live the very best landlord life. This podcast is proudly brought to you by Furnished Finder, the place for everything midterm rentals. Remember to like and subscribe if you enjoy our content.
Hey, hey, everyone. We are back. It's your host, Kelly Bailey of the Landlord Diaries, here with you in the Austin, Texas area with 6 midterm rentals, and I look forward to more. But a quick reminder, we really appreciate you guys listening to our show. We would absolutely love your 5-star reviews on either Apple Podcasts or Spotify. So please, if you haven't taken the time to do that, we would really appreciate it.
And hello, everyone. This is Katie, your co-host. I am in the Denver area. And today we get to talk to Miss Kelly Michelle, who is amazing. She has midterm rentals in the St. Louis area and also does some work educating others about how to get midterm rentals, how to maximize them, all that good stuff. So we have some good talks about systems and goals and talking about, you know, when you need to make things more sophisticated and when sometimes simpler is just better. So it was really great to connect with her and talk to her. And I know you guys will get a ton of value out of it. So just a couple of reminders, this episode and every episode are brought to you by Furnished Finder. Furnished Finder is the one place for midterm rentals where you get only midterm furnished rentals. There's also no booking fees ever. And if you are a landlord, you get charged $99 per year to list your property no matter how many leads you get. So it's pretty awesome from that standpoint. I can't think of anything that's more affordable to list your property on. So we hope you enjoy this episode. Please, like Kelly said, give us a review or a like or a subscribe or whatever the next big thing is. You can give us a cheers or an applause. Let us know that you like this content because we are working hard here every day to bring it to you. And we love nothing more than your feedback. So enjoy.
Today we have Miss Kelly Michelle with us from St. Louis, Missouri. She is on fire, y'all. Kelly's YouTube channel has over 2,500 subscribers, and her content is all about midterm rentals. Kelly started real estate investing in 2005, got hooked on the property management side of things with her first short-term rental in 2018, and has since converted all her vacation rentals into corporate and midterm housing rentals for traveling professionals. Kelly, we're so happy to have you today. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
It's good. It's going to get confusing today. When every time I hear Kelly, I'm going to want to respond. But we'll just work with it. So let's jump into the first question, okay. Which is, it's actually a fun one. I noticed that on your landlord profile on Furnished Finder, on your website, I love it. You're a woman of business and you've got lots of good details about your properties, but not much extra fluff about yourself. So I wanted to give you the opportunity to start off with, who is Miss Kelly Michelle and what are some things you enjoy most in life?
Okay. Well, okay. I'm not good at talking about myself.
Today's your day.
All right. Well, I am originally from St. Louis, Missouri. And basically, I started out in real estate in my 20s. So I've continued up until now. So there's always been some type of a passion. Along with that, I love to travel. So I like international travel the most. So I'm always trying to go somewhere at least once a year. I have a big trip planned. So last year was Bali. So this year we actually are going to, we have more than one international trip.
Nice.
We have Panama and Thailand. So yeah, that is like what I really, really, really love to do. And outside of traveling, I am spending time with friends and family and just kind of just relaxing and chilling out as much as possible. That's my thing, especially when it's cold. I'm in the house.
Yes, especially cold. Hey, if you want any good tips about Thailand, you let me know. It's one of, we loved our trip to Thailand, Phuket. And that's Ho Chi Minh is Vietnam. What's the main city in Thailand?
Bangkok. Yes, that's what it's supposed to be. Bangkok. Yes.
You must take a tuk-tuk. You have to take a tuk-tuk and pick the craziest driver.
Oh no. Okay. I don't know about that one.
All right. Well, let's get into the business side of things. And okay. Why don't you start off by telling us about your portfolio of midterm rentals?
Okay. So right now, in total, I have 15. I think it's 15. Yeah, 15 midterm rentals, but I only really managed myself 9 of them. And then I have other people. So my mom is in the business with me and other clients. So they are partially managing the other units, realistically, just because I'm like, I have enough on my plate already. So I had the opportunities where landlords and managers, property managers were approaching me like, hey, I have more properties available because we built relationships. Do you want them? And I'm like, yeah, I do, but I can't take on all of this. So that's when I got other people involved. So they are pretty much managing mostly those other rentals, but it's still under my company.
It's so good to know your limits.
Yes. Tell me more about how many you own versus how many you're managing or co-hosting, for lack of better words, and what those units are like. Are they houses? Are they condos? Are they apartments? Because Kelly and I have found that that variety throughout the country is amazing just to discover.
Mm-hmm. So I own 5, right? So I own 5 properties, and then the rest are rental arbitrage. Okay, so I have some duplexes, I have condos, and then I have like apartment, 4-unit apartment building, which that is all rental arbitrage. But there, I have all 4 units in that building. So it's a mixture, but all of the properties are 2 bedrooms or less.
And it sounds like, did you have to go out and find these arbitrages? Or it sounds like through your business relationships, they came to you and like, hey, do you want to manage our property? Is that what happened?
So in the beginning, I had to go out, yes, and definitely find these properties and create the relationships with the owners and managers, right? But then as time went on and they saw like I was paying rent really well and, you know, no issues, everything was running smoothly, then whenever they have anything available, they would approach me and see if I want them. And if I don't, then they'll just, you know, basically put them back out there as long-term rentals anyway for other people who want to actually live in the properties. But yeah, so that's what has been happening probably the last 6 months of last year. That's when people were approaching me. But at this point, I'm like, I am not getting any more properties unless I can find a property to buy at a discount. And then rehab it and make it what I want. It has to be in the right location. Then I'll do that. But otherwise, I'm at a standstill at this point. And I'm just kind of like, let me manage what I have and enjoy my profits.
It's funny because I think Kelly has a larger portfolio than I do. And I have a pretty small portfolio right now, at least. I have 4 rentals, but only 2 are midterms right now. And I think both of us have at different points hit our point when we're like, okay, we got to pause, figure out our systems, figure out our processes, figure out how to like best do this, and then we can grow again. Uh-huh. But there's something to that about knowing when to like pause and either say like, okay, I've hit my goals, like this is where I want to be. And there's nothing wrong with that. I think there's a lot of people online who would say, you know, you always have to be growing, always have to get more and more and more. And it's like, there's also something to be said for like, this is the lifestyle I want.
Right.
This is where I'm at. But there's also something to be said for like, okay, let's put the brakes and figure out all the systems. Like, I mean, like I said, we only have 2 midterm rentals. We have 4 rentals in total. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay, wait. Now we have enough for me to get overwhelmed when it comes to the first of the month. So mm-hmm. let's figure out the best processes for accounting and, you know, all the legal stuff and insurance and keeping track of everything, because otherwise you get ahead of yourself and you just end up so complicated and overwhelmed.
Right. Right, exactly. And again, I'm still too trying to make some improvements in my business. And like you said, I'm just at a point where I'm okay. Like, I have enough. I want to be able to leave town and not worry about my properties. And so now I'm trying to build those systems. Like, how do I go out of town for an extensive amount of time? So for example, the summer, and not have to worry about my properties. I have things in place and people in place that will take care of things. So I am working on that process as we speak.
So what are your goals in real estate? Like, you're happy where you're at right now. Did you reach that FI, that financial independence number, and that's why you're good? Or like, what are your goals?
Well, okay. So not that I've reached my number, no.
Okay.
I do have multiple, you know, businesses, so multiple streams of income. Okay. I'm still growing all of those. So that kind of takes my attention away. You know, it's different from when you're focusing on one thing and you can put all of your energy in one thing and make it grow, right, faster. But I have several different businesses where I'm like, okay, I got to do something here, here, and here. So, you know, it's like gradually I have to grow each one. So
I'm curious about your other businesses. What are your other endeavors?
So they're still all in real estate. They're all related. So I have the investment side, which is like long-term rentals or maybe a house I may flip every now and then, not often. and then I have the midterm rentals, and that's a totally separate business. Then I have the education side, which is a totally separate business. So when I say several, those are the 3 basically that I work on.
Okay. And do you have them all in different LLCs?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
Nice.
All different LLCs. So yeah, I'm just like, no, I have not reached my number yet. I'm steady growing. But as far as getting the midterm rentals and more properties, I'm kind of pausing and stopping at this point with that. But I'm still working on the other things.
Love it.
And we know next year I might just, you know, just say, okay, I'm ready. I'm ready to pick
up. Right. That's the joy, is that I think a lot of our society presents that you always have to have this like huge goal. And once you reach it, you got to make it bigger. And once you have a bit, like, you have to keep going and going and going. And, you know, something that I've realized in my personal life, it's like, you know, it's okay to set really small goals that are achievable, mm-hmm. that work up to bigger goals. And also to be okay adjusting those and saying, okay, this is my goal right now. Mm-hmm. I might change that. I might make it bigger. I might make it different. I might shift it over, but just knowing that, like, that's okay. Because like you said, next year you might do something different, but growth is the key. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, the pace and all of that is kind of irrelevant. We're all about just growth, and there's so much opportunity for that in real estate. So I love that you're able to do so many different things all within real estate, because a lot of times it can get shoved in and say, oh, well, you know, I don't want to do this or that, so I can't do it. It's mm-hmm. like, well, no, there's so many things you can do.
Right.
So I think that's really cool, and I admire you for that.
Thank you. Thank you. And then, you know what? Last year, I set smaller goals, and I totally exceeded those goals, like blew them out the water.
Heck yeah, girl.
So I'm like, okay, you know what? Let's relax a little bit and just kind of focus on some other things.
So enjoy your life. Enjoy those kids.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. So last year, my goal was only to get like 3 properties or something like that. And I ended up getting like 10. And I'm like, okay. Mm-hmm. That's why when you hear me say no more, wait. Because all of those properties take energy, money, time, you know, all of that. So now I'm just like, no. Just scale back.
enjoy the fruits of your labor, girl.
Yes. Yep. Yes. That's what I want to do.
Katie, I just have one more question for this section. And Kelly, we have, of course, talked about your YouTube channel, but we haven't talked about the side that you also teach, you know, you have master classes, correct? Like, what do you call your educational side?
Well, I have self-study courses and I do like one-on-ones. I do have like a master's, like a mini master class. So I have a variety out there available. And the YouTube channel is really just a complement to that. That's pretty much how I started just educating people and showing people what I do and telling them about the midterm rentals. And it's just kind of a way to make it real to people. Like, I'm doing it. You could do it too. You know, this is actually what I'm, you know, you see me doing this. So why can't you? I do have the educational side where I'm doing all kind of different things. I used to be a teacher as well. So
okay.
I have a lot of different things in my background. One of them.
So on the educational side, what's the most common questions that you get about midterm rentals and how do you respond to those?
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Today's episode is proudly sponsored by Furnished Finder, the ultimate platform for hassle-free midterm rentals. Whether you're a seasoned landlord or just getting started, Furnished Finder is the place for you. With Furnished Finder, you can say goodbye to booking fees and hello to direct bookings for 30-day plus days. It's a win-win for everyone involved. So if you're ready to experience the joys of midterm renting and take a load off your landlord's shoulders, head over to FurnishedFinder.com today. We make it easy to get started. We're grateful to Furnished Finder for sponsoring this episode, and we're sure you'll love what they have in store for you.
The most common questions would be about, like, when someone's really trying to get started, they kind of ask, oh, well, is this a good market, or how much can I charge? And I'm always like, I can't tell you that information without doing some research. Like, there's no blanket answer. So that's one common question.
Right.
But I have a video out there where I show people how to look at data, like using Furnished Finder's website. So I'll send them that link, like, hey, check out this video. I'll show you how to do this. And usually that works because, like I said, I can't just give a blanket answer and I don't want to give incorrect information. So I like for people to learn how to do things themselves and do it and make their own decisions. And that's pretty much my style.
We do hear that question a lot too. Uh-huh. Like, oh, I live here. Would it be good? Mm-hmm. I live here. Would it be good? Or would this property be good? And I think you're absolutely right. In my mind, there's never an answer that is no. It's who is your target that you want to go after? Is it more insurance rentals? Is it travel nurses? Like, midterms can work for anyone. It's just how you twist the dial. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like, well, the answer is always yes, it can work, but you need to figure out the recipe, right? You need to figure out, like, this is a terrible metaphor, but like, you can always make cookies, but you need to figure out what type is best, like,
exactly,
and what that recipe is. And that involves research, which Furnished Finder has a lot of resources. I know Kelly has resources on YouTube for, but then it's also getting in there, getting your hands dirty, trying it out.
Exactly.
Kelly Michelle, not Kelly Bailey. You guys, like, this is so confusing.
It was the first time it's happened so far. I was like, I don't have any of that out there, but
this is so confusing. And I'm Katie, Kelly, right? Like, I'm like the most common name ever. But this is, I feel like the tables have turned now. I'm so confused.
Yes, so fun. So I'll make sure, and Kelly, we'll get together and put that specific video that you have in the show notes that people can watch it. And then Katie and I, just for Furnished Finder, the most common answers we give is, one, go to www.furnishedfinder.com/stats and see, you know, what the average prices are, how many rentals are in that city, all that kind of fun stuff. It shows you, like, how it's ranked in that state and nationwide. So look at that page. And then we also say, go to the map. Go search the map on Furnished Finder in the area that you're looking to start a midterm rental and see what does it look like, you know, and what are the prices like? Can you buy at a rate that is going to allow you to make an income based off of the prices that you're seeing out there? So in regards to where you can find prices, like that's the two places we like to go on Furnish Finder. And then we also have, it's, guys, this is not a long-term rental. Midterm falls happily in the middle of short-term and long-term. It's less work than short-term, but it's still work. It's not as like as easy as long-term, but it's this perfect balance of you get to touch your properties, you know, maybe every quarter and build relationships with your guests and really know that your property is being taken care of. They view it as your property rather than their property. So it's like, it's just a really good balance. And those professional travelers, you're not going to find better tenants than you will in the midterm rental space. At least that's my bias.
Yes.
And I would also say there's lots of resources out there to research both short-term rental estimated income and rental prices and long-term, and just, you're going to fall somewhere in the middle.
And I mean, like the video I just referred to, I do exactly what you just said. Look at the stats, look at the map. And when it comes to trying to figure out pricing, I'm like, okay, look at your neighborhood. What properties are around your neighborhood? What are they charging? Are they comparable? Like as far as bedroom and bathrooms and the way they look, like, you know, you kind of got to look at all of those things. And your website is just a great resource, you know, for people just to go look at those types of things.
Yeah, for sure. All right.
Thank you. We're glad I can help.
Yes, we have graduated to the next section. Let's move on to landlord logistics. And ooh, I'm excited about this. We've got some little wisdom nuggets we're going to pull from Kelly today. This was going to be so fun. So
okay.
I'm gonna start off with, I did a deep dive on your properties on Furnish Finder and how you word things and all that kind of stuff. And I noticed that you typically put all the nearby hospitals in your headlines on Furnish Finder. And so I want to know, have you found this successful, and why have you chosen to do this style of headline?
So yes, it has been successful because when people are searching, especially if you're catering to medical professionals, they want to know how close you are to their employment location or their work location, right? So by me putting that in the title, it automatically stands out like, hey, I'm close to this hospital. If you're going to be at this hospital, pay attention to this listing. That's the purpose of me doing that. So, and other things I usually put out there are like keywords, safe, quiet, because those are the keywords and things that people want that are staying in these midterm rentals, whether they're coming from the medical side or corporate side, whatever it is, they want a safe, quiet place to stay. So I put those types of words in my titles as well.
Love it. In St. Louis, Missouri area, have you seen more of a female or males traveling to your properties?
Well, with the medical side, it's females. On the corporate side, males.
Okay. Interesting.
Mm. Yep.
Okay. Let's talk about your tenant mix then. What do you see as far as your tenant mix, and are those all coming from Furnish Finder?
Well, primarily from Furnish Finder, but I also get some from Airbnb. So most of them come, I will say like maybe 90% come from Furnish Finder. And then the other 10% Airbnb. So I have my properties in, I try to pick my locations, and I'm trying to like word this so you can understand it. I try to pick my locations so that it appeals to a variety of people. So some of my properties are near hospitals, but then some of them are just very centrally located, whether it's going to be to a hospital or a corporation. So those particular condos that are more centrally located, I get a mixture of people. So that's where I've got someone staying in one of the properties that is getting divorced. And so he needed to move out the house in a temporary place to stay. And his family, or, you know, his wife or and children live in that neighborhood. So he wanted to stay in the neighborhood to be close to the kids. So he's there, right? I have had a CEO. Well, actually, no, a CEO is still there. So CEO is in one of the properties. We also have traveling nurses. So it's like a variety of people in that particular area, the centrally located one. But the condos that are closer to the hospitals, mostly, yes, traveling medical professionals.
Nice. So my next question is, we talk a lot about pricing on the show. And guess what? We already couldn't resist. We talked about it earlier. It's just part of the midterm rental game. But we don't get into the move-in fees side of things much. And so how on your channel and when you educate others, how are you advising them on deciding how much to put for a deposit and for their move-in fees?
Well, I don't necessarily give them a certain amount just because, like we kind of talked about, everything is different depending on what city and state you're located in, right? I strictly just tell them to make sure, you know, you have your first month's rent and your deposits, and I tell them to have at least 2 months of reserves. And when I say reserves, I'm talking about 2 months of rent and utilities and insurance, like whatever expenses you have on this property. Need to have 2 months of that. And I say that just because there are times when you might have a gap and you might have to cover some of the mortgage or rent, you know, or, you know, something like that, or somebody may not be moving in for another month. And that's just how things fell. So you might have to cover a month, you know, so that's why I tell people to make sure you have those reserves. Does that answer your question or is that?
No, it does. And then for you personally, I noticed that yours are around 300 a lot. So how did you come up with how much you wanted to put on your properties?
As far as how much of money I want to put into the properties to get them up and going?
No.
For the deposit.
Deposits.
Oh, just for the, oh, okay. I'm sorry. Uh-huh. When you say deposit, no, I'm thinking good. You're talking about my deposit to like a landlord or something like that.
Oh, so no, you're good.
I charge. So the deposits I charge are usually 500. And if it's a smaller property, it's 200. So there's no rhyme or reason to that, realistically. When I went with the 200, I was like, well, in hotels, that's standard for them to hold $200, you know, on your card when you're checking in, right? So people shouldn't have a problem with that. That's normal, right? So if the property is on the lower end, then I'm like, okay, 200 is enough because there's not that much damage that can be done here, right? If it's the $500 deposit, which majority of mine are 500, it's just that the price point is higher on that property. And if something was to be damaged, it would cost a little bit more. And I feel like 500 is reasonable and fair for someone to get into the property. And especially because they're not staying that long. So they're only staying for a couple months. I don't feel like I need to charge them a full month of, you know, rent as a deposit when they're only there for a little bit of time.
That makes sense. And I think what you said, there is something to that, like what you're comfortable with, right? Because if you have really high-end furnishings in a place, you might want a little bit more of a deposit. If you have pets that you're allowing the tenant to have, you might want to have a pet deposit. But I think that is the basis of it is what does your gut say that you feel good about having as a deposit, but also keeping that reasonable because it is the midterm and people aren't going to put up a full month's rent for a deposit.
Right. So. And then my pet deposits are $300 and those are non-refundable. And I haven't had any issues. Okay. And again, that number just kind of was like, okay, I feel like this is fair. You know, it's not too high, not too low. It's way cheaper than someone would pay to board their pet somewhere, you know. So people haven't had an issue with paying the non-refundable $300 for their pets, and that's, we just roll.
Well, you expect that. And there's more cleanings with pets. You got to get a deeper clean. And even if you have the best pet in the world, there's still extra wear and tear. So
Right.
That's fair.
Yep. So that's it. No rhyme or reason.
No, that's a great answer. And as far as for Dave and I having a 3-2s, pet friendly, families coming, you know, just getting into it around 3 years ago. And we were like, okay, what do we feel like can cover it? So we started with 2000 and we're like, okay, we can at least replace most of what we would need to for 2000. And so then we did a couple rounds and our very first guest, which is actually in the home that I'm currently in, they, they had three dogs and we were so nervous, like, oh, what is it going to be like with three dogs? They're still one of our best guests. I mean, we honestly, all of our guests have been great, and we've had pets almost probably 70% of the time, but that one was nerve wracking. Like, three dogs, what's going to happen? And it was beautiful. Uh-huh. We gave them back their full deposit, and we've been able to give back the full deposit every time since then. But, and we're a little lenient, you know, if a plate breaks, people are human, it happens, right? So then we just replace the plate. But in general, we've brought it down to around 1,000 now, because we still have the, you know, pets coming very frequently, children coming very frequently. But
that makes sense, seamless. Right, Kelly? Your properties are larger, your rent is higher, you're in a more expensive market, you're hosting more like, it makes sense. So I think that's the point here, is to like follow some logic and then see what you're comfortable with.
Yep. Definitely, because if I had larger properties in the same situation, yeah, I would charge more, you know, as far as the deposit is concerned. So, yeah.
All right. So, Kelly, speaking of being comfortable and following your gut, what do you do for tenant screenings? We get this question a lot. Okay. And how do you make sure that, like, you're comfortable with your tenant and that, like, you know that you've got good people in your properties?
So when I first started out, I was doing background checks, credit checks, eviction checks on everybody, right? Because I didn't know. And I came from a world of long-term rentals. So that was just standard. You know, and with short-term rentals, we didn't do that. So I just relied on what I knew from long-term rentals. Now, though, since I've kind of learned a little bit more, I give my people the option. And this is only for the medical professionals. So if they're not a medical professional, they're still going through that same process of getting screened and getting the checks, right? Mm-hmm. Medical professionals, I'm now giving them the option, because I know now that they are being background checked, right? So they can't work at these agencies or hospitals without having a background check. So I have given them the option to provide me with their contract. And their recruiter's contact information, so that I can verify that they are working for the company on these dates at this hospital. And then the contract just kind of shows me, yes, another form of I am employed. I don't have to see the whole contract, just the first page with the person's name, the company, the assignment. And, you know, it may have some per diem information about, you know, housing or whatever, stipend information, but I don't have to see like their salary and all of that. I haven't had any issues with both processes. So I just continue to go with that. And I give the medical professionals an option, just because sometimes they are more comfortable, you know, with just providing the contracts. Sometimes they're not. So you can make your choice. Either way, you're going to get screened.
I think that makes sense.
So quick reminder, with KeyCheck, which is our Furnish Finder business tools, keycheck.com, when you go and do a tenant screening, it's super fast. Like, if the tenant is ready, it can be a 5-minute process. So it is a soft pull. So landlords, that's always important to remind those that are interested, is tell them it's not going to ding your credit. It's a soft pull. And it's not $39.95 per screening. So at my properties, I do anyone over 18 years of age goes through the screening process. And I kind of use it as my gauge to see that's when I know they're interested. Like, if someone pulls the trigger and it says, yes, I'm ready to move forward with the screening process, it's resulted 100% of the time for me in renting it out thereafter. And, you know, we haven't had any credit scores that we haven't, you know, really had to dig in deeper and go to references and that kind of stuff. It's been pretty straightforward, which is nice. But Kelly, in the instances that you maybe, you know, do see a credit report and that doesn't necessarily fit all your criteria, how do you advise clients on analyzing the credit report and, you know, what next steps are if someone wants to dive deeper than just seeing the screening?
Okay. Well, honestly, I have not come across anyone who has not passed my screenings or had a bad credit report or background check. Like, everyone that has come through have been A-okay. But if you do have a criteria, I would say, like, realistically, if you want to set your own criteria as far as like the credit score, you can set like a minimum credit score. I typically look at like the major bills to say, okay, if they're not paying major bills. So when I say major bills, I'm talking about like a mortgage or utilities or a car, like things that we usually we have to have, right? If they're not paying those things, then that's a red flag for me. Okay. I'm not so much worried about the credit cards and being perfect because life happens. We don't know. I don't know what has happened in this person's life, which could have caused them to be late on a credit card payment or whatnot, right? So realistically, I would have a conversation. If I was to come across someone where it was like, okay, this looks a little fishy or I'm a little concerned, it's about having a conversation, right? This is what I'm seeing. This is what is kind of a red flag for me. Do you feel comfortable talking about what happened here? You know?
Right.
And it's kind of like one of those things where, yes, people can lie or, you know, or they could be completely honest, which I'm going on the side of their being completely honest. If I was to, again, be in that situation, but you kind of just have to use your own judgment when it comes to those situations. Look at what's in front of you, ask some further questions, and then use your own judgment.
Love it. We still have a tenant. I get calls maybe once every 3 months that he uses me as his reference for his wife's a traveling medical professional. And so when they go around the country, some choose to, you know, take that extra step. And so I get that call. Hey, how was this family? And it's always fun to remember like the experience with those guests. And I give him the green light every time. I'm like, they were great. I would totally have them again. He actually got me a really cute coffee cup. We put things throughout our house that, you know, emphasize what we want others to experience in life just as we do, you know. Mm-hmm. So he got this cute little coffee. He's like, I think you would like this. And I loved it. And he left us some, like, he's like, you know, your note says to throw this food away, but do you really want me to throw it away? I'm like, let me come look at it. And I was like, okay, I'll keep it.
Right.
And so that, you know, you have those relationships, which I love that. Let's see. On your listing, you also ask in your property description for that everyone is required to provide a copy of their photo ID. So I was curious about that. What is that for?
So, yes, everyone has to have an ID on file just so I know that this person is matching up with whatever credit checks or, you know, whatever I'm receiving. I know that this is the right person. So I can look at their contract and compare, okay, yep. And then verify the information with the recruiter or look at the background check and credit check and just verify who the person is. I also like to have something on file in case of an emergency. A lot of times in some of my properties, not all, but they have to fill out like an occupancy permit and it has like an emergency contact. So I keep a copy of that information, have their ID. If anything was to happen, I can at least provide that information to authorities or anything like that.
Love it.
So I want to talk more about your property management because you have a good number of properties and I know that that can get crazy.
Yes.
Real quick.
Yes.
So tell us about the softwares you use, the systems you use. Give us the tips and tricks that you use to juggle all the things.
So I rely heavily on the tenant tracker mechanism on Furnish Finder. That part of Furnish Finder, I use that religiously. Like
love
that's
it.
Track of everything. So, I mean, realistically for me, I like to keep it all simple. So if I already have a tool that I can utilize and it's not going to cost me any additional money, why not utilize that tool? Right.
Right.
So I definitely use that to put notes about the properties, the guests, you know, check in, check out dates, anything I might need. It's there. As far as accounting, I use Wave. It's an accounting software that's online. So I use that to keep track of everything. I don't have a management, like a CRM management tool to manage my properties just because I just haven't needed it. I haven't. I've been able to utilize what I have and just kind of stay on track of sending messages or scheduling messages when I know a person's leaving and checking in. I just kind of keep track of all of that myself. And that's the beauty of having the amount of properties I have. It's a smaller amount to me, you know, like
right.
I can still manage that. So,
well, and I think there's some people who, like, my brain, every time I try to force myself into one of those softwares or something, it ends up being more work. Whereas sometimes it is, if you have, you know, if your mind works like that and you can keep it kind of all straight with a spreadsheet or something, mm-hmm. like, and the tenant tracking in Furnish Finder, if anyone has not discovered it, is a really good and simple tool. It's not overly complicated. It's not insane. It just helps you keep track of who is where, when they're coming, when they're going, notes. You can add expenses in there. So yeah, it's worth it. But I like sometimes that the simpler approach
yes.
is pretty great.
Don't overcomplicate it. Don't do it. Just use what you have.
Do you want to give those listening that haven't used the tenant tracking tool, you want to give them some tidbits on how you've learned that you enjoy using it best? Like anything that you add there that may be an extra tip?
Yes. I always pop in and look at my tracking tool for my checkout dates and knowing what's coming up for the future. So then I could just take a glance, because on the first page of the tenant tracker, it gives you like the name of the guest, the check-in, check-out, that, like, it'll give you just the general information. So I'm able just to look at that, like, okay, for February, I'm good. But March, all right, I got some vacancies coming up in March. So I need to start doing a little bit more and paying attention to that so that we can get those filled, you know, in a timely fashion. That is the best way. Also, keeping notes. I love the notes section, because then I don't have to remember, okay, this person paid a deposit, but they still need to pay the first month's prorated rent. How much is that? Like, all of that can be in the notes. All I have to do is glance at it, like, okay, all right, I need to send a message or a text to this person to remind them to make this payment before, you know, and that's just it. So, yeah. Those are my
bosses. So much of it is over text now, too, that it's, it's just notes. Sometimes that's all you need.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, let's not overcomplicate this. But like, yeah, it's crazy to me that like we can, you know, we're in a day and age where like texting tenants is the main form of communication, and it's great. Yeah. It's so convenient, but it's wild at the same time. So it is nice that you can put that stuff in a note and you're not sitting on your phone scrolling and scrolling and scrolling. And I don't know about you, but I don't put a person's contact name into my phone until they're either like they're a tenant.
Yes.
Right.
Right.
So
exactly.
They stay just a random phone number. Uh-huh. So then I've got, you know, you have phone numbers and you've got to figure out who's who. So it is the note. Those are really good tools. You can also make notes in your unmatched and matched leads and housing requests and places like that. So take advantage of it, because it will save you a lot of that time of the, okay, wait, who am I talking to?
Exactly.
What were they looking for? I mean, I only have, like I said, I have two midterm rentals, and sometimes I get confused, especially when the turnover dates are similar. I'm like, okay, wait, which one are you looking at? And it's, it can make you feel dumb real quick if you don't have your stuff together.
Yeah, it's a great way to stay organized. And it, like you said, it's very simple.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm going to circle back to, you know, leases and deposits and things like that. And KeyCheck, we're very excited. You know, by the time this episode is released, it will have been out a couple months, but we have a new system called KeyCheck. That's kind of catchy. KeyCheck.
I like that. The KeyCheck.
Documents and signing. So guys, if you've been used to the leases that we've been using prior, you'll still be able to finish those out if you want. But honestly, the new system is amazing because it has built-in e-signature as well. So you don't have to go print it out or go find some website to, you know, figure out how you're going to send it over to them. It's all built into the process now. So Kelly, my question for you is, I was just setting up a lease yesterday and realized our document gave a reminder that most states require an inventory checklist if you take a deposit. And so my husband and I always take a deposit, but we're not always very good at the inventory checklist side because things are constantly changing, right? So have you figured out a process to, you know, handle inventory checklists or
know, no, I don't. Sure I'm every- just like okay. you. I am just okay. like you. I'm like, yeah, I don't do because I'm not meeting people over to the at the property every time they check in. Uh-huh. I do check the property when someone checks out. But sometimes I'm not able to do that. You know, sometimes I have to rely on the cleaner. So no, I just kind of go to the properties and I just review, take a look and see what's there. Like, yes, no, that was this morning. This morning I went to a property and I just noticed like, oh, I'm missing a set of sheets, but you know, but it's like, those things aren't that big of a deal to me because I can just replace them really easily. When I get my cleaning fee, a lot of times my cleaning fee is more than what I actually have to pay the cleaners. So then I just use that extra money to go pick up little things that maybe need to be replaced. So like I said, a set of sheets or replace a towel or two, you know, those types of things. So that's no, smart. I know I should do a checklist. That is the correct way to do things. I just don't have time. That's just honest.
Well, but here's the thing, right? What you just said, you don't have the time. So I think it comes down to A, are the furnishings at all of your properties similar enough where you would notice if something is missing?
Mm-hmm.
Right. And B, like time, right? Like, is it worth your time to go through and check every little thing? Or is it, okay, hey, a tenant just moved in and we listed a coffee maker, but she doesn't see a coffee maker. Okay. I'm going to buy one on Amazon for them. Mm-hmm. So I think it comes down to that. And I think this circles back to what we talked about. We're like the phases of everything, because if you or I or Kelly get to the point where we hire a turnover manager, they probably will want a list because they don't have our brain. But right now, like we have the tool that I could walk into my properties and I could tell you exactly what's missing because mm-hmm. it's in my brain.
Exactly.
So I don't think that's a bad answer, and I don't think that's a bad thing. And yeah, Kelly, I would be curious, and this is going to fall under the legal advice category, so I know we're not going to technically have an answer, but mm-hmm. I would be curious how detailed that list like technically needs to be, and like if just pictures would count, or
which Kelly are you talking to? I can't tell.
You Kelly. And like it's so. Just it's that stuff is like so different state to state, where mm-hmm. it's like, okay, let's all just be reasonable people here.
Well, and when you think about one, we've all said that a majority of time we give back the full deposit. For myself, it's been every time. It's professional travelers, so the likelihood of having like big damage is not as common. Can it happen? Sure. But is it going to be enough damage that someone wants to take you to court over, you know,
right.
$200 no. or $500?
Over a missing set of sheets.
No.
Right. So, well, and
I don't know. I just like we can drive ourselves crazy doing all the tiny little details and everything where it's like, no, let's just keep making business.
So exactly. I will say what we do here on the show pretty often is picture books. Like if you have a system in place where you've got the same cleaners every time and they know the system, and you have a book of like where everything goes and what everything looks like, it's going to take that initial setup. But that's what we've heard pretty common that a lot of people do. Mm-hmm. And I am excited to try. So this is my accountability. Y'all are my accountability team. Someone comment 3 months from now and say, Kelly, how you doing on that process? And there is a website called Turnover B&B. Mm-hmm. And it looks, I've already done a intro call, and it was a gentleman in France with the cutest accent, and he walked me through the site and how to use it. And
but did he wear a beret?
No, he did not. And what
dang
happens,
it. Okay.
What happens is it's tons of cleaners on there that are essentially bidding war. They have reviews and they start saying, oh, I can do it for this much. I can do it for this much. And let me tell you, it's a lot cheaper than the cleaning team that I use that's local. Like these mm-hmm. these individuals that are going after their own business, they don't have to charge that overhead cost of, you know, the building and all the supplies and everything. So it's a lot cheaper. And you can get very detailed and put a picture with each step, and they have to upload that picture as they're going through the cleaning process, so that then you're like, oh, they're halfway done because I see that there's already 20 pictures uploaded. I'm like, mm-hmm. I'm excited to try it, but it's going to take some work for me to have the system ready. So somebody hold me accountable.
Okay. And you know what? It's funny you mentioned Turnover B&B. I am using them. Okay. Well, I've used them for the first time just Wednesday and Thursday. So I had two properties that I needed to be cleaned because my regular cleaner is on vacation. So I tried Turnover B&B and I picked two different cleaners. And they both did very, very well. Another part of this is I'm also trying to find a cleaner who I can rely on to do extra things for me. So yes. Like when I'm traveling, will they go to the store real quick and pick something up if it needs to be? So I just kind of was testing them out, and one of them looks like she will fit the bill. So yes, I am definitely recommending Turnover B&B if you need a cleaner, just to try a couple people out and see who you like. I mean, it has worked well. Through the app. It told me when they started the job, when they completed the job. We can message each other through the app. So yeah, it was a good
experience. The other thing, Kelly, to add to your photo book is I'm just using my listing photos and then photos of the cupboards that are open. So like, okay, the cupboard's open. Granted, if the cups end up in a different place, I don't care. But like, you know, the point is that there needs to be cups in the cupboards.
Organized.
Right. So again, like we can simplify it. So I think this is like a good theme that's coming out, is just like simplifying and not overcomplicating things, which is not my nature. I want to overcomplicate everything.
I think I do as well. So we like to wrap it up with Furnish Finder and Key Check favorites. We have already talked a good amount about some of these. So I just wanted to give Kelly the floor to see if she had any last advice on, you know, if there's any specific tools we haven't talked about that she loves using that she wants to make sure the audience hears about.
Well, I think I've already talked about it. My tools that I use, again, would be the tenant tracking. And then I also use the leases and I use the background checks. I have not used the payment option yet, but that is something I'm set up for it. I just haven't had to use it yet because most of my people are going other routes. but those are the tools, yes, and that I use on a regular basis every single day.
And fun fact, I actually helped design the payments tab. So all the testing that happened on payments, I was one of the main persons testing that. And it was fun, like, to get that mathematical brain going. You're like, ooh, how does this work out and this work out? And so the key to KeyCheck payments is we're trying to make it simple for y'all where you don't have to figure out how much it costs. Like, it'll automatically calculate the prorated amount if it's not a straightforward month to month. And then it sets up automatic emails that go out as reminders of, hey, it's payday. So you don't have to be the bad cop. KeyCheck takes care of that for you. Like, it's time to pay, which is really nice. So you just set it up one time at the beginning, and then you just watch those rent checks come in. And if you need to remind them, then you can, but it's a great system. That's it from me, Katie. Do you have anything else? Any final questions for Kelly Michelle?
I don't think so.
Well, okay. Kelly, please remind everyone how they can connect with you or get involved in your educational side. How would you like them to connect with you?
Well, you can find me on Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, at Miss Kelly Michelle. So that's my handle. You just type that in. You'll find me. YouTube, I have all of my videos regarding midterm rentals and educating you guys about that and my experiences. And you'll find tips and a lot of information on Instagram and Facebook as well. So make sure you just follow my page at Miss Kelly Michelle.
I've enjoyed it. So guys, it's a great page to follow. Have some fun. And she keeps it, while we have longer episodes, some shorter, but we like the full details from our guests. Kelly keeps them pretty short. She's got a lot of 5 minutes, 7 minutes. And so if you want those little tidbits, go check out her page. But just a reminder, we appreciate you all being here. If you're liking the show, we would absolutely love your 5-star reviews on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. And if there's anything you want us to talk about that we haven't, please comment on YouTube and we will do our best to incorporate it into a future episode. Thanks, everyone, and have a great day.